Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Good evening. Hey, y'all doing any good? Oh man, that music's awesome. Thank you so much, bro. Well, it's such an honor to be here and to minister in this church. I don't know if you know this, Guts Church is famous, man, all over the world. You guys are like an institution here in Tulsa, man. This thing's awesome, and I've heard so much about it from so many people. Some of my friends that have preached here over the years, and my wife and I, we pastor a church in Adelaide, South Australia, which we're not just in the deep south, we're in the south of the deep south, and that's where we live. And my wife and I, we pastor a church there, and God's hands have been on it. We've been growing and seeing God do great things, but it's such an honor to be here on a Wednesday night. Today's the first time I've ever preached in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is awesome. And so I'm so glad to be here and to minister in this church. And Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, they're incredible people, and you're just so blessed to have such great pastors. And I really feel like God wants to do something in this room tonight. And I guess one of the reasons I like to get out and travel a little bit is to just stir faith in people's hearts for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Because I don't know how we can do this thing called Christianity without the power of the Holy Ghost in our life and in our world. And I wondered if you'd turn with me, please, to the book of Acts and chapter 3, Acts. You'd say Acts. Acts. Chapter 3, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Acts. You ready for the word? I believe God wants to speak to people. At the end of my message, I'm going to pray for people for a fresh touch from heaven and for God to just do something rich and real. I believe as Christians, we need a fresh anointing every now and then. Just get the Holy Ghost defibrillators clear, ba-boom, just to make sure we still got a spiritual pulse happening. And so I just want to stir your faith to believe God. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple." It's interesting, Peter, a man of faith, John, a man of intimacy with God. It's a powerful combination when faith and intimacy turn up for church. When they go together to the house of God, anything could happen. And it goes on to say at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. You'd say alms, I think. Alms. Somebody say alms. So you sound like a room full of ducks when you do that. "To ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John." By the way, is there a language barrier or are you with me? Do you understand my Australian English? Thank you. I've been working on it for a few years now, my whole life. "Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" I just want to stop there, then I'll read the next verse. I'm a bit of old. I'm raised old-time Pentecostal. So my parents, they weren't like normal parents. My friends, their parents were like, they worked in insurance, or my other friend's dad was a police officer. My dad was a healing evangelist, still is. He's 71, he was a healing evangelist. So for my sixth birthday, my friends were getting like G.I. Joe. I'm still in my scripture. They would get like G.I. Joe or Lego or something like that. I got an overhead projector. That was... Do you remember what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about this modern kind of thing. It was a box by about that big, by that big, by that big. It had like you know what I mean? And you put the words on a transparency, and if the overhead projector operator put it up the wrong way, people thought it was Mission Sunday and the song was in Russian, you know? And so I'd have all my bears lined up in my room. I'd lay hands on the bears. They'd fall down under the power because I was a Pentecostal preacher's kid. They spoke in other tongues. And one day I baptized Big Ted and his eye fell off. And my mum sewed the eye back on, and then we had a healing and testimony service. So my dad had a tent. We'd go and have tent revivals. I mean, we had church. I think they spoke in tongues more than English. My parents fought in tongues. I mean, they didn't even... You know, you live in Tulsa. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, if I was sick on a school day, I never got compassion. No. No one ever walked in my room and said, "Oh, David, just take the day off, have a couple of Advils, just relax." The door would burst open, boom, Benny Hinn music starts playing. Anyone know him? Lift your hands and praise him, I'm telling you. And so my dad, they'd bring enough oil to literally drown a koala bear, you know. Dad would walk in the name of Jesus, let the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon him, pick him up, in the name of Jesus. I'd go to school, black eye, thick lip, blood nose, but not one flu symptom. That was sorted out. But I was raised around faith people. And I was raised around people that believed that you could lay hands on sick people and they'd get healed. And I know we're in the 21st century, but some of this old school stuff that was in the church 100 years ago still works in 2019. And that is the old time power of God, where cancer still can dissolve at the name of Jesus, and depression and anxiety can go by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm getting excited. I'm still in my introduction. Is this Tulsa anointing? I feel like I walked in here and Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin are just walking next to me. They're watching us from heaven. If you're taking me serious, you might think I'm talking about strange things, but that was a joke. But my parents taught me about faith and believing God and laying hold of God for the supernatural to come into the natural realm and reaching into this realm and pulling it into this realm. Just old school stuff. And I read this story. And there's just something here that often we miss because we know the Sunday school song, Peter and John went to pray. They met a layman on the way. Who knows the song? He asked for all right, no one knows it. I'm just up here singing like a madman. But the scripture says this, good song though. It says that he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But at that point, nothing happened in terms of the full manifestation of that anointing. At that point, he had just prayed a prayer of faith, declared it by faith. It wasn't until he took a step of faith and reached out, picked him up, and it was at that moment his ankle bones received strength. You know, sometimes we can say all the stuff, but there is times where we've got to step out in faith and believe God. And he said in the name of Jesus, then he reached down, and as he did, the power of God comes on him. Those ankle bones receive strength, and he stands up, walking, leaping, praising God. Now, I'm not even here to talk about the guy walking, leaping, praising God. I want to talk about Peter. Because Peter, I like Peter, because I think we're all a bit like Peter. We have great days, and then we have bad days. Let me give you an example. Great day. Walking on water. Great day. Very good job, Peter. Denying Jesus. Not so good. Great day. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, oh, yes, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Then Jesus is, you know, thinking about the cross and how he has to go to Calvary. And Peter says, how about you just don't do it? Not a great day. That's possibly the worst advice that's ever been given in biblical history. And right there, and right there, Jesus turns around to Peter and says, he doesn't just say, get behind me, Satan. He says, get thee behind me. You know he's serious when he goes King James on him. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. You know you are not in a good place in your walk with God when God is referring to you as Satan. I mean, I've been called a lot of things by a lot of people. I've never been called Satan, especially when I've been talking to the Lord. A bad day, another bad day for Peter. The assistant of the high priest comes to arrest Jesus. He pulls out a sword and chops his ear off. The Bible says that he healed him. I don't know, biblically it's silent as to how he healed him. Did he pick the ear off the ground, sort of blow it off and stick it back on, or did he just give him a new ear? I don't know. I hope he gave him a new ear so he could keep the old one. What a testimony. This is my ear. He could play the piano with it, you know, and go around. Do revival meetings. People say, where'd you learn to play piano? I play by ear, you know. By the way, Guts Church is an awesome name for a church. You drive past all these, like, Grace Tabernacle of the Redeemed and Glorious, the House of Glory and Redemption and Hallelujah, Christian. No dudes want to go to that church. I would go to Guts because it's got grunt. It's, I feel like a man came up with that name. Anyway, I know the story and it is actually what happened, but what a great name. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. So Peter denies Jesus, literally denies Jesus 3 times in the same city to a girl. I don't know him. Then 3rd time he curses God. I blankety blankety blank don't know him. And then he weeps bitterly. We know the story. So now we see, can I walk around a little bit? I feel like it's just not very wide and I'm just sort of going from side to side. So we'll just go up, down, around. So Peter, in this story now, goes from being someone who is denying Jesus 3 times. Totally denying Jesus, totally rejecting association with God. And now in the same city, probably within just a few yards of the same place where he denies Jesus, he's now saying to a man who's never walked, he's saying, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I mean, what changed in Peter? How did he go from being one guy? He won't even admit to knowing Jesus to a girl. Now in the same city, he's declaring the miracle-working power of God and seeing miracles flowing out of his life. What changed? What was different? What changed in Peter? He's the same person, but something shifted. And I want to tell you, it all comes down to one thing he said. He said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have." We have all we need. Everything we need to do what God's called us to do is available to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. What changed in Peter? It's so simple. Let's just jump back 2 passages. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 for 1 minute. Can I just say this? I told you all how my dad's an old-time Pentecostal. I feel it should be mentioned that I too am an old-time Pentecostal. I still believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I still believe that God can baptize people in the Holy Ghost and fire. I still believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I still believe that the Holy Spirit's alive and moving on planet Earth. And so when I preach this stuff, it does something to my faith, because Peter has gone from weak and unable to stand in difficult times to literally ushering a move of God into the early church. And we see here in Acts chapter 1, this is what changed. Jesus says in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, being assembled together with them, he commanded them. Now, it's interesting. I don't know what translation you have, but I've got the New King James. It says in verse 4, he commanded. Somebody say commanded. If you're from Australia, it's commanded. But in America, it's commanded. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. I find this word very interesting. Commanded them. He commanded them. I mean, this is God, this is Jesus, commanding his disciples to go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father. It wasn't, "Hey guys, this will be beneficial. You know, we'd love you to think about getting filled." He's like, he's commanding him. He's saying, "You need to do this. I've got a purpose. I want to establish my church. I want to do something, but I can't do this unless you people first get full of the Holy Spirit in order to do what God's called you to do." And he commands them. He says, "Wait for the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, which you've heard from me. For John truly baptized in water, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they'd come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." I love this verse 8. We all know it. We grew up on this stuff. He says, "But you shall receive power." Somebody say power. He says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you to be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Peter, he denies Jesus. Then Jesus is resurrected. He restores him. But then he starts to tell people, including Peter, "You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit." And then if we jump over, just turn right, we'll go one chapter over, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says this. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly," somebody say suddenly. I love the suddenlies of God. I love the fact that we can be facing all kinds of trouble, but there's a suddenly from heaven. In other words, you could be sick in your body, but suddenly God can make you well. You can be, your marriage can be in trouble, but there's a suddenly from God. God can turn it around. You might be so broke that when you walk past the lake, the ducks throw bread at you, but God can still turn that around. As a little joke, he can turn that around by the power of God. God is a God of the suddenlies. You can be going one direction and God, boom, he can just turn things around in the name of Jesus, because that's the business that he's in. And right here it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. One sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them the ability. I can tell you in this room what Peter carried when he said, such as I have, it was this that had taken place in his life. He had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God had come upon his life and changed his world. And he went from being Peter the meek to Peter the mighty, Peter the reed to Peter the rock. And it all happened in one encounter with God in an upper room 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so when we, you know, I get up here and I say, I'm a Pentecostal. Now, the problem maybe in the United States is you have Pentecostals that are like, it's a denomination. Where if you're Pentecostal, like the women don't wear makeup, or they wear way too much makeup, or you know, it's like legalistic. You know, if you scratch your leg on Saturday, you're going to hell because you've worked on the Sabbath, and you maybe you've heard you have to speak in tongues to be saved. That's not Pentecost. When I say I'm a Pentecostal, that's cultural. That's just a cultural Pentecostal denominational thing. When I talk about Pentecost, I talk about the fact that what happened on the day of Pentecost is available to us right now. In other words, what he did in that upper room with Peter and the followers of Jesus, when the fire of God fell, what was available then is available to you and I now. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You might already be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You might have been in this church a long time. You've come to meetings. God filled you with his Spirit. Maybe it was in a home group, or maybe it was in a new Christians class. Maybe it was in church. Maybe it was just during worship. God filled you with the Holy Spirit. And I assume on a Wednesday night, there's a lot of people filled with the Holy Spirit. But tonight, I want to pray that a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit would come upon every person. That tonight you just would leave with a fresh sense of God's anointing in order to do what God's called you to do. Because, man, it's a crazy day in history to be a Christian. I feel like being a Christian, even in the Western world, is harder now than it's ever been. And I just feel like God wants to encourage people. Just put a fresh fire in people's spirit and do something supernatural. Peter went from denying Jesus, messing it up, getting it wrong, to being touched by the power of God. And in one moment, he went from being someone who couldn't even stand in some seasons to being able to go to a man who was oppressed all of his life. He checked his pockets. He had no money. Maybe God gave him no natural resource so he wouldn't try and resource this guy's cycle of pain and brokenness. Instead, he gave him heaven's resource, which doesn't just fix your day, but fixes your life. And in that moment, he was able to raise him up by the power of God. I pray that you and I would understand that just like Peter, we can walk into our world and say, silver and gold we might not have, but what we do have. What is that? It's the word of God. What is it? It's the name of Jesus. What is it? It's the power, of the Holy Spirit. Such as I have. I love that. Such as I have. I don't have it all together, but I prayed for some people and seen them made whole. I'm sure you have too. Why? Is it because we gifted or because we go to the right church? No, it's truly because we have a revelation that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And when we pray for somebody or we come before God in faith, we're not just praying for something and saying empty words. We believe that the creator of heaven and earth, that the Spirit of God is so upon us that as we pray, we release a faith and God by his Spirit does something supernatural in our heart and in our life. And I pastor a church. Our church is called Life Point Church. Just a good little churchy name we've got going there. And before that, the church was called Miracle City. And I was determined to change that pretty quick. Because basically, on the floor above us, we had this little tavern, like a pub, we'd call it. And they had like poker machines. And I think people thought Miracle City was the poker machine place. I actually, for a while, they were thinking of getting some poker machines in our foyer to help raise money for missions. But they wouldn't share. But when we were called Miracle City, we were in an old office building. Since then, we've got our own building, and God's blessed our church. But the phone rings, you know, one Sunday morning, it's like 9 o'clock. This is 15 years ago. And I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of people, and it was a Sunday, and I'm in the office, I can hear it ring, so I thought maybe someone's looking for church. So I quickly ran over and answered. I said, hello, and I hear on the other end of the line, and I'm not being unkind in any way with what I'm about to say, so I'll qualify it in a minute, but I hear this, do you believe in miracles? Like that. He wasn't saying it right. He's like, do you believe in miracles? And I said, yeah, I do. And he says, I'm calling from Flinders Medical Center, which is a big hospital in Adelaide, where I live. And he said, I have a paralyzed tongue. Obviously, it was some neurological thing, but his tongue was paralyzed. He couldn't talk, you know. And so they said, I have to be under 24-hour supervision so I don't choke or block my airways in the middle of the night. And so it was hectic. So he rings our church. And he said, you know, I've called three other churches today. And I asked him, do you believe God can heal me? Because I don't know what they're doing. This guy's not a believer. And so I said, and he said, he's called three other churches. And so he said, so I looked up miracle in the white pages, which is like the yellow pages. We just have the white pages. And so he looked up miracle in the white pages. And he called our church. He saw Miracle City Church. And so he said, do you believe in miracles? I said, well, yeah. And I said, come to church today. We'll pray for you and believe God's going to do something. So he's not a Christian. He has a paralyzed tongue. Turns up for church. We're just doing good Sunday morning church. There's probably about 120 people there. It's the early days of our church. And my job was to do what you did tonight, Pastor Dustin, and let's just transition the service. In our church, what we do is we sort of pray, like before we swap it over, we go, hey, if anyone's needs a miracle, lift your hands to God. That's probably the way I was raised. It's just we lift your hands to God. We're going to believe God. So people lift their hands and we pray and it's beautiful. It's glorious. And Jesus is very happy. I went to do that. I've got a stepmother and she's 4'3" when she's wearing socks. And she's one of those people who's so spiritual that she doesn't sleep. She levitates, you know, those kind of people. Everything's a word of knowledge and, you know, they just walk around the fields with butterflies and eagles flying around them and it's just beautiful. So she goes to interrupt me. I'm going to walk on the platform to grab the mic. She rips the mic out of my hand and walks over to this guy. Now, this is the most embarrassing thing in the world. I would never do this in my church. So I'm about to tell you, I put all the blame on her. And I just want you to know that this is shocking. It's embarrassing. If you're a visitor, this will not happen to you tonight. I think it probably won't happen to you tonight. I'm fairly certain. This is what she does. So all the pastors in the house are going to stress out when I say this. You won't stress out based on tonight. You're just going to stress out on my behalf because you'll have known how awkward this is. She walks up to a guy, never been to church before, isn't a Christian, and has a paralyzed tongue, walks up to him in front of everyone, in the microphone, in front of everybody, and says, young man, speak in tongues right now. I just about died. I'm like, this is the kid's never been to church. And he's now got a microphone in the face from a woman. She's not Pentecostal, she's Pentecostal. She's got a mic in the face. Young man, speak in tongues right now. And then you know how you have that moment where your legs go weak and you think the whole world's, I just thought the church is over. Like, this is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened in our church. And the thing that made it worse was I had these two thoughts go through my mind. There's only two prerequisites that I can think of for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. One of them is a relationship with Jesus. He doesn't have it. And the other one is a functional tongue. Well, it's not hard, but you do need those two things go. So then I was thinking, this is terrible. And then I thought, well, maybe God will let him speak in teeth. I don't know, just be resourceful or something. So she walks up to him. Sorry, but I'm like a bit of a wacky Holy Ghost preacher, but I talk about this stuff because I do want to stir faith in the body of Christ again to believe God for fresh anointing, fresh power from heaven, a little bit of... So she just says, speak in tongues right now. And then goes, in the name of G. She didn't even say this. She didn't get time. Because she says G. And the next minute, he does a fall out under the spout where the glory comes out. So he's now on the floor. And I'm thinking, this guy is never going to come back to our church again. We're going to have the media here. And the next minute, I sort of, with the band keep going, I see him on the floor, the power of God's touching him. And this kid starts speaking in tongues. He's like going, like, I'm talking about like full on, should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Kia. You know, that kind of... He's... Does anyone know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about speaking in tongues? Just a little bit of rhubarb shunda. There's nothing wrong. Every now and then you just gotta stir that up. He gets up off the ground and goes back to the hospital. He still had his like medical thing, which is its actual name. And he goes back and he says to the doctors, "I'm fine. I can talk. Everything seems okay." They said, "What happened?" He said, "I went to this cult." Maybe if can I get brother Piano to come, if that's okay, just to thank you, brother. God bless you. I just feel like I need the keys to wrap this up, so you believe at least something of what I've said. So he gets up, gets back to that hospital, goes home. His mum, his dad, his brother, his sister, his dad wasn't on the scene. His mother, his brother, his sister. All in church the following Sunday, 15 years later, they're all on fire for Jesus, serving God. He got touched. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Our church was so broke we couldn't pay attention. Our church was, we're in a building that, I mean, you wouldn't even bring your mother-in-law to that building. I mean, the thing was a disaster, you know. Our church was broke. We didn't have anything. And I look back and think, man, in that little building, we saw so many miracles. I sometimes look back and think, we got all the resources in the world now, but back then when we had nothing, it was silver and gold we don't have, but we got God's moving in the house and lives are being impacted. And you know, in a room like this tonight, I want to stir your faith. I just wanted to preach short and encourage you, but get you to believe God tonight for a fresh touch from heaven.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.